أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، I begin in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. I begin in the name of your Creator and my Creator and the one who created everything that ever existed. I begin in the one who sent us the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example and as the seal of the Prophet. And I bear witness that there is no deity whatsoever worthy of worship except Allah, and that indeed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and most noble messenger. And I also bear witness that if the whole of mankind, from Adam to the last person alive, was to come together, they could not add to Allah's magnificence in any way. And if all of us were to go against Allah, it would not decrease Allah's kingdom in any way. And I also bear witness that however much man tries, however much he strives, he cannot change what Allah has willed. However much we try, it doesn't matter how much technology we have, how many people we have, how much money we have. If Allah has written for an earthquake or for a flood or a wave to happen, then these things will happen. And this is from the signs of Allah. And this shows our relationship with Allah. So before I begin khutbah, inshallah, I want to tell everyone a small story, a small excerpt from the history of Islam. Many years ago in Uzbekistan, a baby boy was born blind. Many years ago in Uzbekistan. And his mother, she was a strong mu'mina. And she did not lose sight of who had the power to cure him. So she prayed and she prayed for her son's sight. And within a few years, alhamdulillah, the boy regained his sight. She was widowed and the boy was an orphan. But she travelled with him from Uzbekistan, not by plane, not by car, not by train, by foot, so that he could receive an Islamic education. She arranged for him that he attend the circles of the scholars, and within those circles, he began excelling in the science of hadith. He travelled to distant villages. He didn't stop there, he travelled to many distant villages in search of the most authentic sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would pray 2 rak'ah before accepting a hadith. His mother named that boy Muhammad ibn Ismail. But many of us know him today by a different name, by the book that he compiled, which is second only to the Quran in authenticity, Sahih al-Imam al-Bukhari. And I'll give you another example of another time. And in this time, in the chilly Baghdad winds, a mother would wake up her child much before Fajr. Not just before Fajr, much before Fajr. And his mother would bundle him in warm shawls and escort him through the darkness, making sure that he reached the masjid safely. And after Fajr, she would wait for him, as you read hadith, to the biggest scholars of the time. Then long after the sun had come up, she would meet him outside and together they would walk home. She was a strong mother indeed, for her son grew up to become an imam of the Muslim Ummah. And his name was Ahmad ibn Hanbal. I gave you these two examples of two people who strove for something. They strove for knowledge in the learning of Islam. This is something that today as Muslims we have left behind. The very first word that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard that was revelation was Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi halaq. Halaqal insana min 'alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram alladhi ma lam ya'lam. Alladhi 'allama bil qalam. So Allah says, read in the name of thy Lord who created. And he created man from a cloth. Read, and thy Lord is most bounteous, who teacheth by the pen. So the first words that were said to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, Iqra, read. Read, it was a commandment, read. Dear brothers and sisters, there are many, many stars of Islam that we could follow. But today, unfortunately, we choose not to. Today is not the case where we have even one grand scholar. Today people argue who's a scholar, who's not a scholar. SubhanAllah, there was a time when people would respect each other's knowledge. Today you speak to people and they say, oh, but he's not my scholar. He doesn't have enough knowledge. I choose not to follow him. SubhanAllah, look at the example of the four imams. The four imams, SubhanAllah. Even though they differed widely sometimes in their opinion, they had respect for each other. Today we do not even have scholars of those standing. Today we need to protect and preserve the estate of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this cannot happen without sincerity and hard work. Today we have millions of Muslims who have many degrees. They've studied night and day, have many degrees. You can look all over the world. But at the same time, by the same token, many of these Muslims do not even know how to pray salah. They do not even know how to do wudu. They have no idea about Islamic teachings. You see people, they get MBAs or they get medical degrees, but they don't even take the time out to understand the Islamic implication of these. We live in this country, and yes, you know, something that we should have is car insurance. But how many of us understand or know the rulings about insurance? A lot of us make this excuse, oh, that's all right, we're in this country, we need to have it, you have to obey the rules of the law, of the land. How many of us have taken the time out to understand whether insurance is permissible or not, and which sort of insurance is permissible? Every Islamic revival that takes place is built on something. Every revival, you look at it, some are built on emotion, some are built on politics. But the only revolution or revival that will stand is the one that is built upon the foundation of the Quran and Sunnah and sincerity. Today, more than ever, the enemies of Islam are working overtime. They're working overtime to take the deen away from our hearts. Take the deen away from our minds and the children and the future. And they don't do this by coming to you and saying, no, don't do this, don't do that. They produce stuff like Orientalists. And these Orientalists will come to you and say, you know, Islam is like this. And it means this. And it means that. And today, SubhanAllah, these people, we as Muslims, we're falling for this. We're learning our deens from PhD students and from the West and from Kufar who have no iman in their hearts. This is what's happened. SubhanAllah, sometimes it really disheartens me when I sit with Muslims. And instead of quoting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they will quote Aristotle and Hippocrates and Socrates. That these people have anything of iman. And these people will take us to Jannah. And they feel proud that they can quote these people. This is the time that we live in. Why? Because this has been embedded into our heads. These people put a nice gloss on Islam, and we try to learn from them. Allah sent us the Kitab 1400 years ago, which was the Quran. Allah gave us the Quran. And unfortunately to us today, all it has become is some a book that we open once a year, if that, in the time of Ramadan. The rest of the time it gathers dust on the shelf. If it's not gathering dust on the shelf, subhanAllah, we either have it on our walls decorating our homes. And those of us who are a bit modern, we have it as screensavers on our computer. I think, yes, alhamdulillah, we're doing something for Islam. We have the Quran in our hearts. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the weight of the Quran is such that if it was placed in a mountain, the mountain would crumble. The mountain would crumble. The prophets have come and gone. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came and he died. And the only thing that we have, the only link, the direct link we have with Allah, is our dua and the Quran. And if we cannot take time out to understand the Quran, then what loss we are as people, what a loss we have. Allah gave us this kitab, this book, for us to contemplate and read. But what do we do with it? Either this or we find people who read it day in, day out, and it doesn't pass their mouth. Their heads move up and down like yo-yos reading the Quran, but they don't even understand what they're reading. Allah says in the Quran, Surah Isra, say, believe in it or do not believe. Indeed, those who were given knowledge before it, when it is recited to them, they fall upon their faces in prostration. And they say, exalted is our Lord. Indeed, the promise of our Lord has been fulfilled. And they fall upon their faces weeping, and it, the Quran, increases them in humble submission. Sometimes you find, subhanAllah, when we talk about the Quran, it doesn't move the crowd at all. Yet those who came before us, when one verse was revealed, they used to cry. They used to cry and cry. They used to fall into sujood. It was not a different Quran. It was the same verses of the Quran. The same verses of the Quran, yet it doesn't pass our hearts. We say it doesn't have no effect on us. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best amongst you is the one that learns the Quran and then teaches it. Again, he tells us who the best amongst us are, the one who learns the Quran and then teaches it. SubhanAllah, many of us, I can say, cannot even read the Quran properly. I, for one, when I went to the masjid when I was younger, I was taught how to read the Quran in the style of Urdu. And it wasn't me, there was 50 or 60 children in that class. And there are many, many masjids over this happens to. Even those people who come from Middle Eastern countries, they cannot even read the Quran properly. So when I speak to some brothers, they say, yeah, I can speak, but I can't read the Quran properly. And these are the words of Allah. These are the words of Allah, and we don't even take the time out to understand it or to contemplate it or learn to read it better. Yeah, when it comes to studies, and I talk about university, you will see students day and night studying. They have an assignment in a month, but they will work hard, they will try and understand it, and they will work around the subject. Do we not value the Quran? Is this what we are saying? Because this is what it means. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us the Quran for us to put on our shelves? Each and every person, ask yourself, when was the last time you opened the Quran and read it and tried to understand it? The hukum of studying in Islam, many people think this is not a fard. No. It's a fard in Islam. You have to study. You have to know your deen. The prerequisite for salah is to know how to pray. And the prerequisite for prayer is wudu. And you need to know these things. If you do not know these things, then how are you going to learn? How are you going to be able to fulfill your fard? The importance of studying is again verified in the Quran, in Surah Al-Qalam, where Allah swears by the pen. Allah swears by the pen. And Allah only swears by important things. When Allah swears by time, well, Asr, we know Allah swears by time, and everyone understands the importance of time. But Allah swears by the pen. Today we're living in an age where information is at our fingertips. You go on the net, you can search every hadith, every ayah, you can listen to, get fatwa from scholars. But has our knowledge increased in any bit? Would you say we're more knowledgeable than those who came before us? Yeah, we have it at our fingertips. The people who came before us, they didn't have pens and papers. They'd learn it by word of mouth. Today we have it so easy for us, and we still do not know. And I'll give an example, subhanAllah, of some brothers I know, may Allah reward them. And every week, alhamdulillah, they go for martial arts training. Every week. Because this is something they enjoy, and this is something they want to be good at. And they travel from here very far, outside of London, say to Milton Keynes. And they do this every week without fail. And I thought, subhanAllah, these brothers are making an effort. But today there's so many places where the deen is being taught, and how many of us make an effort? When we want something that's important to us, when the sales went on, people were travelling left, right and centre to get a bargain. They go all the way into London, or to Reading, or to Bluewater, all these stupid shopping centres, to get a bargain to pick up a £5 shirt or something. Yet for hadith or for Quran, no one makes a move. We think it's enough for us to sit at home and Allah will send us the ilm into our heads. Another point that really got to me, subhanAllah, was once I was praying behind an old man. And I prayed a few prayers behind him. And each time he would pray, subhanAllah, he'd only read the very short surahs of the Quran, the very end ones. And I found out that he only knew a few, say 5 or 6 surahs. And I thought this man would know so many surahs. Because look at the age of his life. And this is the thing that a lot of the youth have. They say, okay, I've got the rest of my life to learn. But when we leave university, after people are working, do you have more time or less time? As Muslims, day on day, week on week, month on month, year on year, our knowledge should be increasing. Each step we should be becoming better Muslims. During Ramadan, I said that every Ramadan we should become better Muslims. But what happens is Ramadan becomes cyclical. We come back to point zero. Imagine the thought that the knowledge you have today is a plateau of your knowledge. Does this not scare the people? Al-Hassan bin Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, educate yourselves today, for today you are the youth of the community, but tomorrow you shall be the seniors. Speak to the brothers, speak to the elders of this community, and ask them what this hadith means to them. Ask them, I say to the shabab, the youth, speak to them and ask them. And Ibn al-Jawzi, the scholar of Islam, he used to say, he said, I haven't seen a flaw more sad in the community than those who stop working even though they have the ability to continue. They stop working even though they have the ability to continue. This is working towards the deen. Yeah, maybe you retire at 65 and you can't do physical work. But this does not mean that you can read the Quran. This does not mean you can attend dars. This does not mean you should try and learn more hadith. Subhanallah. Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, the world is cursed. That which in it is cursed, except the dhikr of Allah and what follows it. Or a learned person or a student. This was related by Ibn Majah. The world is cursed and what in it is cursed, except the dhikr or the people or the thing that follows the dhikr, or a learned person or a student. Now we have to ask ourselves, which category do we come under? Are we a learned person? By any token, I don't think so. The great scholars of Islam, the great shayukh, they say, I'm not a scholar. They used to deny themselves being scholars, and they say, go to such and such. And today, can anyone in this room say we are scholars? Or we are learned? Are we even students of knowledge? Are we actively seeking knowledge? So are we a part of those people that are cursed? Sheikh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he said, thus any path a person takes, whether physical or otherwise, something that will help him in acquiring knowledge of the deen, they enter into the words of Allah, in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever seeks out a path to acquire knowledge of the deen, Allah makes easy a path for them to Jannah. Whoever actively seeks a path of knowledge, then Allah will make easy for them a path to paradise. And Jannah is not easy. Paradise is not easy. We know from Hadith Qudsi, the Prophet Muhammad SAW told us that Allah commanded the angels to surround paradise with all the hardships. With all the hardships of this life. And studying is one of them. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, whoever Allah wishes good for, He grants them understanding of the deen. Whoever Allah wishes good for, He grants them understanding of the deen. How many of us can say we understand the deen? SubhanAllah, when you sit with the people and you say to someone, brother, can you help me with this? He will say, I've heard this or this or this. None of us can give them a constructive reply. We refer them to books, SubhanAllah. As Muslims, we're ambassadors of this deen. We have to be equipped with the knowledge that we can help each other. SubhanAllah, I know a brother, mashaAllah. Allah bless him. He knows everything there is to know about his subject. If I have any problems, I can go to him and he will tell me everything there is to know about this subject. And he will refer me to books all around the subject. But when it comes to the deen, no one has this. They might be able to quote one book that they vaguely remember. Is this the way of the Muslims? I guarantee you, about any other rubbish subject that Muslims can talk for ages about, we will talk anyone else under the table. But when it comes to the deen, why didn't we go quiet? One of the hadith scholars that Imam Bukhari took from was someone called Hisham ibn Ammar. And he narrated a story that happened to him when he was 8 years old. 8 years old, and there's no one here who's eight from what I can see. And he says, my father sold a house of his for 20 dinars so that I could go for Hajj and study Islam. He sold a house of his not for money, for wealth, to acquire a good life for himself, so his son could go for Hajj and study Islam. And when I arrived in Medina, he said, I went to the circle of Imam Malik. And he was sitting amongst his students. And people would ask him questions, and he would answer. So when Hisham, he came upon the crowd, and his turn came up, he said, Hadithni, recite to me, to Imam Malik. Remember this 8-year-old boy. He was no shyness. He said to Imam Malik, he goes, Hadithni, recite to me. But Imam Malik said, no. He goes, you recite to me. So I talked back, he said, and I argued. And Imam Malik got angry with me. Imam Malik got angry, and he sent another boy to take him outside and smack him 15 times. So the boy took him outside and he smacked him 15 times. And so, again, Hisham came back to Imam Malik's class. And he said, you have wronged me. He said to Imam Malik, he pointed to me, he goes, you have wronged me. My father sold his house so I could come and study, and you've beaten me. So Imam Malik, he goes, what's the expiation for this? And you know what he said? He said, teach me 15 hadith. For every smack, teach me 15 hadith. This was their love of the deen, and this was their love of knowledge. So Imam Malik recited 15 hadith to him. And so Imam Malik goes, is there anything else? And you know what Hisham then said? He said, take me outside, beat me again 15 times, and teach me another 15 hadith. An 8-year-old boy. Who can say we were like this when we were 8? Who can say we're like this now? Ibn al-Jawzi used to say, let me tell you about my own situation. I am never content saying to myself that I have read enough books. If I find a book which I haven't seen before, it is as if I have stumbled upon a pot of gold. Subhanallah. Today we have libraries upon libraries. We have books at our disposal, and we walk past them as if they're nothing. Here for £5, or £10, or £20, we work extra hours. Like this will give something to us. From the beginning of time until the end of time, there'll always be a competition and a race between the people who do good and the people who do evil. Whether it was Adam and Iblis, or Musa and Fir'aun, or the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Jahl, even today this race has not ended. And we have to think, how hard are the enemies of Islam working, and how hard are we? How hard are they working to destroy Islam, and how hard are we? These people won't come to you and say, we're here to finish your religion. They use many tools and many traps. And we will fall into these traps if we do not have a firm foundation of knowledge and iman. Umar once said, he goes, I seek Allah's protection from jealous, the strength and enthusiasm of the sinner, and the laziness of the God-fearer. SubhanAllah, is this not the time we're living in? Where the sinners work overtime. They work day and night. Day and night. But the Muslims, subhanAllah, just about make it to the masjid for prayer. Once, if they do 5 prayers in the masjid, they say, this is enough, alhamdulillah. Nothing else of my deen is required by me. Yet these same people are working day and night. Day and night. For what? To destroy us. And we will be destroyed if, unless we change our act and we change our actions. You find many of us are too lazy to pray even 2 rak'ah at night. Yet by the same token, we will spend all night watching movies. I'm an example of this, subhanAllah. I'm ashamed to say it. I'll find it easy to watch a film at night, but to get up and pray 2 rak'ah, then I feel, no, it's going to take some energy and I feel lazy. Imam Subah, he used to say, if I ever saw someone running in the streets of the village, I would only think one of 2 things. Either he was crazy, or a student of hadith. Either he was crazy, Majnun, or he was a student of Mahdi. This is how the people used to respect knowledge. And it hurts me, subhanAllah, in the course of preparing for this khutbah, every example I used to find were from people gone. From people gone. I wish I could give examples of today of people who studied, who worked hard, who strived for the deen like this. The fight with shaitan never ends. Allah says in Surah Sa'd, verse 82-83, Iblis said, by your might I will surely mislead them all, except among them your chosen servant. So this is a fact. Shaitan himself says this. And Allah witnessed this in the Quran. Shaitan wants to mislead all of us. Away from Islam, away from knowledge of the deen. And he has two weapons. Two weapons which he uses a lot. One of them is sofa. And this is the idea of procrastination. Well, we want to study, but we say, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Or I'll do it in summer when I have some time off. Or maybe I'll do it after university when I finish my degree. After I finish my degree, well, I'll do it after I get married, because this is more important for me to get married. And then after I have a healthy bank balance, I don't have to worry about my family. And after I have 10 children, I've raised them, then I'll study. When I'm in my grave, I'll study, subhanAllah. Is this what we're going to say? Each and every one of us ask ourselves, how many times, how many good intentions we've made. Every time we hear a speech, every time Ramadan comes, every time someone reminds us, we say, yes, I'm going to study, I will learn, I will be good. But I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow was 5, 6, 7 years ago. Yesterday, subhanAllah. And the other method Shaitan uses was that he used this thing, we say that this person will study sometime in the future. And this never happens, subhanAllah. The future never comes. So we have to look at our situation and we have to be sincere in our desire to learn Islam. We have to be sincere. The beginning of many hadith books starts with actions about by intentions. We have to be sincere. Allah ordered us to be sincere to Him in what we do. And Allah says in the Quran Surah Al-Bayyinah verse 5, and they have been commanded no more than this, to worship Allah, offering Him sincere devotion, being true in faith. Secondly, we need to understand we are in this continuous war with Shaitan. And he does not want us to succeed in studying. So Allah says in the Quran, tells us how to deal with it. When you read the Quran, seek Allah's protection from Satan, the rejected one. This is Surah An-Nahl, verse 98. So when we say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, this is for this reason. So that we don't forget. And we're telling Shaitan to get away from us. But many of us say it like rope. We say it like parrots. We don't have any understanding of this. How many of us can say, we say so many things in Islam that we do not truly understand the meaning of? There are many, many, many ways that Shaitan tries to attack us. And this is only a few, subhanAllah. But we should never forget to pray to Allah to bless us with His mercy in succeeding our intentions to learn Islam for His sake. So Allah says, when my servants asked you concerning me, I am indeed close to them. I listen to the prayer of every suppliant when he calls on me. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 186. Allah make it even easier for us. Allah says, I listen to every call. I listen to every dua of the person who makes dua to me. So why are we not raising our hands? Why are we not raising our hands? We will raise our hands when we want a good job. We will raise our hands when we want to find a spouse. We want to move into a new house. We want a new car. Then our hands will be raised. But something as basic as the deen, then we don't raise our hands. We don't ask Allah to fortify us in this deen. Know that there is paramount reward from Allah for those who seek knowledge. And sincerely they pass it on to others. Know that knowledge you pass on, you will receive reward for it, even if you are dead. The reward lives on. Know that this knowledge is an inheritance of the Prophet, and we all need to take our share. The Prophet did not leave the dinar or the dirham, the dollar or the pound. What they left is knowledge. And this knowledge they left for us, it's for us to take our share. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he said, there is no comparison between one who has knowledge and one who does not. Just as there is no comparison between the living and the dead, the one who hears and the one who is deaf, and one who can see and one who is blind. Knowledge is light, with one which one is guided, and with it removes one from the darkness to the light of Islam. With knowledge, Allah raises the ranks of those who He wishes from His creation. And Allah says in Surah Al-Mujadilah, Ayah 11, Allah will exalt in degree of those who believe and those who have been granted knowledge. So again and again, the message of this khutbah is we should be proactive learning this deen. Learning this deen. The Quran is not supposed to be left on the shelf. It's for us to open and contemplate and read. Allah says it Himself in the Quran. Because verily this book is for people to sit and contemplate and to understand. Why do we not do it? And those people of us who think we're young, ask those people who are older how yesterday was their youth and today they're in old age. And I say this to the older brothers of the community and the older sisters, you know, until the day you die, you can learn. And this is a message for everyone. Until the day you die and you take your last breath, you can learn. If only we make the effort. Know that knowledge leads to action, and action leads to salvation. These Jummahs that everybody attends week on week, these will bear witness against us. Do we think it's enough for us to come once a week for 20 minutes or half an hour and we fulfilled our duty to Allah? Every single khutbah, every single word we hear from the mouth of a khatib or advice, it will bear against us on the day of judgment. Did we take action based on those words? So I say this to every single person and to myself first and foremost. That go after this Jummah and take some advice from it. Know that Allah will question us about this time. Allah will question us and say, did you not hear? Were you not reminded of the need to study? Allah will question us, and what answer will we give? And I will finish inshallah by the saying of Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, who said, knowledge cannot be gained by resting. Knowledge cannot be gained by resting. So we make dua to Allah that Allah gives us understanding of this deen. Allah gives us understanding and Allah gives us the action to act upon our knowledge, inshallah. Allah give us the strength to be good Muslims. And Allah, inshallah, make our progeny and our future strong upon the deen. And Allah give strength to all the Muslim brothers and sisters around the world who at this time are going through hardship. And know that this is a sign from Allah, and may Allah reward them. Ameen.
Pray now, start 2 o'clock, if anyone wants to stay.